Welcome to Brainwaves Bistro. Grab yourselves a cuppa, kick back, and join us for mental health talk with a positive vibe. Here's Julianne.
Now, welcome. Now, can I hear everybody? A very positive vibe, but it might find it very soothing as well. But before we go there, I've got to say this. This is the sad part. The rise of debilitating anxiety and stress in our Western world has risen, according to the World Health Organization, at over 25%, a rate of a whopping 25% measured in 220, and this is frightening. There are so many types of anxieties as there are sufferers, and we're talking about a state of body and mind that causes distress and dysfunction in people's lives. And as I've said on previous podcasts, the stress hormones can leak through the sufferer's skin and impact on others. Yes, the ones you love. I have actually experienced this myself, and it is acutely debilitating. And so you've got to think of yourself, but also close friends and loved ones because of this contagion. Oh, and please seek medical professional advice if this causes you distress, but listen, and we may soothe that away. Now, here today, we are so blessed to have one hell of a talented lady, singer, songwriter, and most importantly, healer, who works her magic with the infusion and integration of touch, sound, and the very underrated power of our olfactory senses, and the highly neuroaesthetically pleasing, don't you love my big words, visual surrounds of her luxurious day spa, where she cares for as well, cares for others, as well as herself. Welcome, Marty Ritchie.
Hello.
Hello, gal. It is a blessing to have you join us today. And a little later, we are going to be taken into a beautiful space with your music. And also, not forgetting, and with much love, welcome Barb Smith, who herself has some healing powers. Hi, lovely ladies. As I said to Marty, hi, Barb. Hi, Barb.
Hi.
Now, we must, step one, ask Marty to explain how we can first start to live a deeper, richer, and healthier quality of life and mitigate the impact of negative stress and anxiety in our lives. Marty?
Well, hello, and thank you for having me. And I guess I begin answering that by saying this is really just my opinion, which is nothing at the end of the day, my opinion and my experience of working on thousands of bodies over the last 25, 30 years. I think the simplest way of answering that question is we have to be aware of how we're feeling. One of the questions we ask everybody that comes into the spa, one of the first things we ask them when they come into the room is, how are you feeling today? On a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 was I'm a red hot mess and could burst into tears, and 1 was I'm over here dancing in a field of daisies, what's your number? It's a fascinating question because it's not something we wake up every day asking ourselves. We feel it usually as our eyes first open in the day. You get a really good sense of, oh, it's going to be a rough day, or, oh, I'm not feeling so great. But we just move on and let it go and get on with the day. So it's interesting when you ask people how they are, because most of the time I find of late people's stress levels when they give you a number is over 6, 7, 8. That's high. Mm-hmm. You know, that 80% of people that answer that question might be closer to I'm a red hot mess. So firstly, I think it always starts with how you're feeling, where am I at, and accepting that, not having a judgment on I'm feeling really crappy. And then, of course, there's so many different things, and I think it depends on the person that you are. For me personally, I always, when I get to that trigger point of stress, I need a massage, I need touch, I need to unwind, I need almost like the onion layers to peel off all of the tension. I think for other people, it can be simply going for a walk or a jog or yoga or whatever your thing is. Some people are really driven with sound, so it might be listening to some music. I don't think there's one answer for that. I think it's a very It's a huge question that is a different answer for most people. But my view on it is most of us are driven in a certain way to enter our feeling body. Some people tune into themselves easily visually. You know, it might be a really beautiful scene that helps them feel where they're at. Some people through sound or music, and some people through scent. These are ways that are instant gateways into the truth of how we're really feeling. And to reduce anxiety, first of all, you've got to identify what you're worried about, what's causing the anxiety, and then be prepared to change. But I don't think you can make changes until you've landed at a place where you've accepted where you're at.
Yeah. Self-awareness, people often refer to, is the key.
And without judgment. I'm in a really good place. Okay, let's look at that. As opposed to the mind getting involved and making excuses or stories about the why. The why sometimes doesn't matter. The is more important, and just accepting it maybe.
Yeah. And you also talk about, we don't want to get too sciencey here, about the sympathetic and the parasympathetic.
Yeah.
You most said that very well.
Yeah, the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system, it's really the core of the work that we do in body work in the spa and what I do with sound in my sound baths here at Chicana also, Chicana being the name of my day spa. Most of us are on. We are in that fight or flight, that sympathetic nervous system most of the time, not even aware of it. We're on. It's not until we start to really relax that we fall into that parasympathetic nervous system, and really no healing can happen until you land there. It's where we are at our most rest. Mm. And when you're in a really relaxing treatment or you're feeling like you're starting to let go of the tension in your body, at that point you in your own being are very open to the journey that's going on within you. You start to become more acutely aware of where the tension's lying or where the stress points are in your body. But whatever we're switched on, which most of us are, we live in a world that's, you know, highly toxic. The toxic load of our lifestyle is huge. So we're armored everywhere we go. We leave the house, we're armored. We go into the supermarket, there's a part of us that's armored. We're in the public. So there's a part of us primarily that's in protection mode. We're on a lot of the time. And I really believe that true healing can only really happen when we start to land and learn to position ourselves more often in the parasympathetic nervous system. We really aren't chasing a beast, or most of us aren't walking around the street with the fear of death right in front of us. So the level of anxiety that we're feeling is real.
Yes.
It's validated for the positions that we're in. It's not like we've got a lion chasing us. We're not in a jungle running for our life.
Yes,
you know, level of anxiety is high.
Yeah.
Given that for most of us, we have nice, comfortable homes. Most of us are, you know, managing okay within the life that we have. So it's a really interesting answer when most people in the Western world who are, you know, most of us are above the poverty line, are still ragingly high when on an anxiety scale of 1 to 10, where's your stress level? Close to the highest point. It's an interesting question, and something I think we all need to consider more to support each other and ask why and what we can do about that.
And you're doing a lot for so many people in asking that why, but soothing and helping them almost like a psychologist, but better to my mind. Having self-aware and going to the core and liberating themselves through your treatments, if I'm saying that right. Mm. Interestingly enough, Marty, we had recently, and Barb was with me, Karen Muir from the US on the show talking about her healing work with sacred acoustics, and in line with that. And she spent years and years studying the ancients and the use of sound and binaural beats in the sounds, gleaned from, as I said, the ancients, the Egyptians, the Indian gurus, even our Australian Indigenous, although she did say she wasn't that fond of the didgeridoo, but we won't elaborate on that one. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. and how they work on our brain waves with varying frequencies to heal. For example, your delta waves, they're in deep sleep.
Yeah.
And you betas, high beta for concentration. It's quite an interesting field, but also gamma to really get in tune with your more meditative and spiritual, if you'd like to call that. It's not, her approach wasn't religious or mantra, a bit like yours, but it was science-based and is science-based, and it resulted from her. And she actually found that she was able to give her research to organisations, and they were able to achieve science, evidence-based results with mental disorders such as ADHD and even sleep disorders for some. And your work is very, very similar, I guess. I'm looking forward to coming to your sound bath, and I know the dates, so I'm coming. So tell us a little bit about sound bath and how that aligns.
Well, the thing about music and sound, and why I think what all of what you've just said is so, can be so science-backed, it doesn't, I come from a perspective of how it feels, because I think when you express something to somebody that rings true with them, it's not indoctrinated. If it feels true to somebody, it's coming from within. It's a truth within. And music, whether people are conscious of it or not, if you want to go to a party, you put on beats. If you want to relax, you put on something more chilled. If you're having a nice glass of wine and a romantic dinner, you'll put on a slower beat, maybe something without a beat or something that's a bit more jazzy. People instinctively know how to move their brainwaves around. We do it. We all do it. Everybody's playlist will show that. And you'll choose the right music when you're ready to receive it. That's what's so fascinating about sound and music, is we heal ourselves with it. It's why musicians need to keep making music, because people tune into it and receive so much from it without even knowing why they're doing it. The thing about the sound baths that I do, and I answer the question a lot, people ask me, what's a sound bath? And I'm always interested in making things accessible to people that wouldn't usually know about these things. It's like that saying, I'm not interested in preaching to the saved. I want to open the doorway to people that want to learn more. And it, to break it down simply, a sound bath in the fraternity of sound, the sound healing world, is usually a yoga sort of space, a room you go into, you lay down, you close your eyes, you're usually on a yoga mat, and somebody spins crystal sound bowls, Tibetan sound bowls, dangles chimes around your head. They're very simple sounds. So when someone says to me, what's a sound bath? I explain it like this. You know, you hop in a water bath in your bathtub at home, and you're immersing yourself in water. It's a bath because it's an immersion in water. I think a sound bath can be described in a similar way, but it's an immersion in sound. Where my sound baths differ a little bit is I am a songwriter, and I've composed a body of work that does have melody. So I sing these songs within my sound bath, as well as using different instruments. And look, I could use a keyboard, or I could use a traditional rock and roll instrument, as opposed to using a Tibetan sound bowl. The instrument that's chosen in sound baths, like Tibetan bowls and Christian bowls, I think, to be honest, they're used commonly because it's one simple note. And the difference that I explain to people when they said, oh, can't I go to a gig? Like, isn't a gig healing? Isn't going to the symphony healing? I think the difference in a sound bath is, one, the intention is to close your eyes and go within and just take in the sound. Talking about the parasympathetic nervous system again, there's more of a possibility for the protective part of your body, the fight or flight that's in protection mode, to soften, to still. You're not in a venue. There's no one else around. You're not watching anything. Your eyes are closed. So the sounds are taken within, a little bit like when you put your headphones on it at home, but the difference is it's a live sound, so the sound waves are moving through you. And the thing about Tibetan sound bowls or crystal sound bowls is they might be one note. It might be a C note, that it's a crystal bowl that's tuned to C. But there's lots of overtones that come from that particular instrument because they resonate. There's a lot of resonating sounds from a single crystal bowl or a Tibetan bowl. So my sound baths are a little different because I incorporate all of the senses, not just sound. So it's an immersion in sound, and not just the simple sound of the traditional sound bowls or the instruments you would expect to have at a sound bath, but I do incorporate melody because of the songs that I've written with voice, and I use my guitar as the accompaniment for those songs. But I think with the music and the lyrics, it's very aligned to what's going on in that sound bath. There's a song about letting go. There's a song about tuning into your heart. Lyrically, they're very aligned to what the goal or the intention of that space is. And I look at it like this. You know, I'm English. I'm Australian, but I speak English. It's my first language. You know, and I've had a long time spent in practicing yoga, and I, back in my 20s, was fascinated by Sanskrit because I wasn't that person that could sit in a yoga room and just chant a mantra and not know what I was saying. I was like, I need to know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I actually feel like there's a part of the brain for us Western people that can let go more if we're being sang to or saying words within a song or a melody that makes sense to us. There's a part of us that can land in truth because we resonate with what the words mean. So quite often when I say to people, I've written the soundtrack to my signature treatment at Chicana, which I always also perform within my sound baths, they think harpsichords and, you know, gongs and pan drums. And I say, no, it's actually quite lyrical. These songs are still really lyrically driven for a reason.
Beautiful, beautiful lyrics.
Yeah. So I guess to answer your question, a sound bath is where you come in, you lay down, with the intention of just simply receiving, not watching. Nothing's coming out of you. It's all about taking in the sound. Does that answer your question?
I think you've done that very well. And I've got another person who's been very, very, well, I would call Barb, who I introduced before, as a healer as well. And Barb, a lot of what Marty has, not the word not wrongly is prescribed, but has incorporated in her own healing journey and of others, is a bit similar to yours. Would you agree?
Yes, Julianne, and thank you so much, Marty. I wish I had had access to you in 2004 when I was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. They gave me 18 months to live. And to the learning that I've had since then has been huge. But if we'd had the availability of people like you, it would have been a lot faster. But the music and to be able to just chill, it's very hard to when you're in that sort of worrying feeling, to be able to just go and say those things. All's right in my world. It's going to be okay. I had that feeling, well, if I brought it onto myself, maybe I could heal myself. I don't know. That was just part of my own opinion. But over the time, by getting myself in an alkaline body instead of an acidic body, then I was able to receive many things. And I did, luckily enough, heal, and didn't have chemotherapy or radiation
Amazing.
Treatment,
Amazing.
Whatever. But I did reach out to other people and ask for their advice and their help. And often when you are open to the universe, it comes back to you. And that's what you're doing with what you're, whether it's hands-on, whether it's music, whether it's sound or scent, you're giving all of those things to other people. And I wish I'd had access to you earlier. But anyway, now we know where you are now.
Barb, do you know what you just said, which is fascinating? And it's what happens. And that's, I think, why I'm so passionate about working, holding space for people to tune into their own feeling body. Because healing something that's felt, it's something that has to come through you. And I don't, you know, I don't, not particularly fond of the word healer, to be honest, because there's so much attached to that. I always say to clients, I can only work as deeply as you allow me to go. This is a partnership, you know, and I play the body like an instrument. I listen and I tune in and go, where are we today? Where are you? And I remove myself from the equation and I listen to them. And then I work with their frequency. And when I say frequency, let me explain it and break that down. Frequency meaning what is frequently felt in the body. What is frequently felt? And my goal when I'm working on people's bodies is to just let them leave with a lighter sense of being. I tune into where the density is in their body. I feel it, I find it, and then I work with it. And I don't need them to know why they feel better. Hopefully, if I've done my job properly, I've helped to move that density out of their body, but they're allowing me to. It's a partnership. And the thing about you saying, I want to feel better, I want to. It's in the mind, and that's when you start to drop down to becoming well, is when you move into the feeling body. I'm not thinking I'm well. How do I shift from thinking I'm well to I am well? And that's the shift that I believe really happens through the feeling body. And that is when we move through the sympathetic nervous system into the parasympathetic nervous system. And someone, it's almost like holding space still enough for a person where the noise can be removed enough and that gateway opens where they find their own voice, their own inner voice, and they can hear themselves. And I think, you know, so many people, women especially, we're busy, we're looking after people, we're such empaths, we're porous, we're taking on everybody else's feelings, and sometimes, especially women, you forget where you are in that. And I often say to clients when they leave here, we call it being chicanered. It's like, oh, there you are. Just for a minute, if nothing else, our job's to remind you, you know, just for a minute, people sit in our waiting room after a treatment and quite often are really emotional. And it's like they have this look on their face and it is a look of, oh, God, there I am. I'm nobody's mother, boss, wife, husband, just for a minute. I just forgot for a minute. And that in itself and of itself is so healing because they walk out and it's a ripple effect. When you're feeling within yourself, within your own fountain, opposite to that saying, I'm beside myself. When we step back within ourselves, we go, oh, got more to give. And I often say to women, there wasn't that much really wrong, was there? Or clients I'm looking after. Sometimes it is simply holding the right space for someone to understand how they've been outside themselves and just guide them back within their own little center. And then healing can happen on whatever level that is, because you're in the center of your own energy system, not beside it, you know, and the mind is connected to the perfect self-expression of the throat, to the heart, to the power center. All these centers need to have a clear channel to kind of work with a clear channel of this extraordinary thing that it is to be us that is breathing.
What a miracle of speech there.
Oh, gosh, yes, hold me back. I told you, didn't I? Try and stop me.
Yes, you can, but you speak beautifully and you've got a wonderful message that's going to help so many people.
Thank you.
Now, I must talk about your album.
Yeah.
Rightly called Ascend, Rising Above, and you'll bring people above with you. How it came about and your own creative process. And when you first started finding your passion for music and sound, please tell us.
Right. I'll try and keep this short because it's a long-winded story, really, but it's very simple. I mean, I'll track right back to my upbringing. I'm from a very musical family. My grandparents are musical. My grandmother was musical. My father's musical. My brother's an extraordinary guitarist. So music's always been around me. But it wasn't really until my parents' marriage broke down that I leaned into an instrument. Even as a little girl, I used to sit at my great-grandmother's piano and I just felt I could bare my soul to it. Before I even could play the piano, I felt like I could lean into it. And that grew as I needed to lean into it. And I started writing music really from a position of healing when I had something I needed to speak that I couldn't speak any other way. And that progressed in my early 20s when I moved to the city from the country. And at the time, I was really alone. I didn't know people in the city. I was working in a day spa, learning all these things at the kind of pioneering stages of day spa land, where we had this extraordinary training from a company in the States that was teaching us all about different Eastern modalities. And it's all quite new to me. But at the time, I was really suffering, funnily enough, in the skincare industry with really dreadful psoriasis. I had a huge patch of psoriasis on my neck. And at the time, I was learning all about the throat chakra, which is all about perfect self-expression, about self-expression. And at the time, I had an old hand-me-down guitar of my dad's that and I was living on my own for the first time in a big city. I'd just finish work and I'd go home and I'd fiddle around my guitar, and that was what I did. Yet I was also really lonely, and it was a difficult time because I was dealing with a lot going on with our family that was very difficult, and I was young. And I just started to understand this fascinating thing that was happening. I'd pour my heart out on the guitar, I'd write a song, and I'd wake up in the morning and this rash would be gone. And then I would find that fascinating. And being the sensitive soul that I was, the tension would build, the frustrations, the emotions, this rash would flare up again to a red, raw, awful thing. I'd write a song, it would disappear. And this went on for a year. Raise up, I'd write a song, and to the point where I go, oh, that rash is coming, I better go sit at the guitar. So that was the beginning of me starting to go, wow, that's incredible. And then, you know, I had a red hot go in my 20s with my songwriting and was playing gigs and working in a day spa. So my life was strange. I was in candlelight by day and in the dark at night doing these original gigs in little bars all around the city. So it was a strange existence. So that's the history of my music. Come forward, you know, to Chicana, when I opened Chicana, which is almost 7 years ago now, I treat clients the way I treat clients, and I work very holistically. I always say we're like a temple wrapped in a day spa, and it's very authentic and very real, and the care is very genuine. And I had a particular client who I looked after quite a lot, and after her treatment one day, there's a true story, she was really emotional in our waiting room, which is not uncommon. And when she left, she knew my story, she knew I wrote music, and she said to me as she left, "Marty, when I come back next time, I want you to sing to me." And I looked at her and I went, oh, look, I'm chuffed. That's lovely. And I put my hands up in front of her face and I said, but you come here for you. This is about you. I write for me. I'm not sure how to do that and make that about you. Anyway, cut a long story short, that really inspired me. I went home, I wrote a song called Slow, which is now on the Chicana website and one of the songs that's on the Ascend album. And I wrote about the work that I do here. You know, touched a million faces in this new oasis, we go slow. That's the first line. It's about the work here. And then at the time I was in the studio, kind of getting back to the body of work that I'd put aside when I had my children, just for the sake of art itself. I didn't want to do anything with it. I was recording for me to finish this body of work. And was also writing songs more and more about the work here. I wrote a song called Sweet Surrender, which is about the solar plexus and letting go. And then when I recorded that song, made the fatal error of leaving the keyboard player in the studio, and I hated the mix. I hated it. So I just benched it all for a little while. Then I had another client here one day who the music kept cutting out in the spa, and I just had to let it go because I couldn't repair it. And music's a big part of what we do in the background of a day spa. And then at the end of his treatment, I took my guitar in because I had it here and I finished with a song. And when he came out, he sat in the waiting room and he looked at me and he just went, oh, my God, Marty, are you going to start doing that here? I went, no, oh, my God, that was just my sorry. The music cut out and I thought that was a nice way to end it. Was it okay? And he was like, I've got no words. So I went home, listened to the tracks I'd been working on, and the penny just dropped. And I went, oh, I've got to take in the bowls and I've got to take in the bells. And I know I'm doing this all for Chicana. This music's for Chicana. So it sort of just drove itself. And then once I'd finished the music and recording it, I had no intention of releasing it. It was going to be just for my clients and this signature treatment that I was working on with sound. And it sort of became more. I then created a scent range, which was aligned and curated to also align to these different energy centers. So each song has a scent that goes with it and is also named after the song. And then it also became this project, which was about awakening the senses. So I felt like, well, what about the visual people? And it just felt like the right thing to do to then go and do some music videos. It felt like I was putting the painting, the artwork on the wall. I needed to frame it and do the right thing by the art. So that's really how it began, and that's the truth. And it just grew. It's sort of been a three-year project that's really finished or rounded up now that I've released the music. But that's how it started. And I would test different sounds with clients. And it got to the point when I was workshopping this treatment where I'd come in with a guitar, and I had one client one day sit up and go to clap. And I went, oh, no, this is about you, not me. And then it was that point that I decided to call the treatment what it was, and really it became what it is, because it's very important to me to craft it in a way that this music is not about me, it's about how they're receiving it. And most people cry when we go there. You know, it's an incredible experience. It's very intimate, and it's one-on-one. I'm in the room with my guitar, But it's body work and it's scent. So there's a whole spectrum of not just the tactile sense of touch, but there's sound, there's scent. All of these gateways to the senses are being activated to open within that treatment, which again is a deeper landing point of someone really truly falling within that parasympathetic nervous system, which we spoke about before. So hopefully it's a very well-rounded experience, which from my perspective, I don't think that just sound is enough. You know, I've had sound healings before and I still walk out and I'm like, oh, gee, I need a massage on that sore shoulder. You know, it's an extraordinary thing to be able to bring all of those modalities into one experience.
And you've done it just so beautifully, because I was almost in a hypnotic trance myself of soothing and joy when I came to the spa, and I didn't even know it was there. So people,
thanks for coming.
Go to Shekinah, the website, and you can just, even just doing that, you can feel and sense and particularly see what it's all about. It's just a hint of what's to come. And I better spell that, because we're not visual here. It's sound. So it's Shakana, shakana.com.au. Is that correct? Yeah.
Correct. Yep. And you can also find the music on my Marty website, which is just MartyRitchie.com.au.
You beat me to that. I had.
Oh, did I? Look at
you
that.
Got me.
Speedy over here.
Yeah. Speedy, speedy, speedy. And thank you so much for giving back to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I always say to clients, thank you for coming. You allow me to work in a way that I'm so passionate about, and it's a partnership. If people don't come, the girls and I who work, you don't get to do the things we're really passionate about. So it's a partnership, always.
Partnership. And speaking of partnerships and giving back, Barb, you've got something just quickly to say.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Marty. I've been taking notes and listening and learning, and I can't wait to come down and visit with you. I'm really excited about that. I live in the country, so I'm going to make a trip down to the Big Smoke. So talking about those particular things, Julianne is very big in supporting the Black Dog Institute. And as she's talked about, one in five of us will experience some symptoms of mental health in any given year, possibly. And in Australia, that could be around 5 million people. So that's roughly about 60% of these people won't seek help. As the only medical research institute in Australia to investigate mental health, the aim of the Black Dog is to create a mentally healthier world for everyone. And they do this through translational research and integrating the research into the studies. And their partnership with people with lived experience, and also federal, state and local governments, communities, schools, corporate Australia and others in the mental health sector, enables them to drive evidence-informed change. So Julianne often says to me, no donation is too small. So please Google Black Dog Institute. And to just wrap up, I want to thank Marty and Julianne for being on Brainwaves Bistro and getting the word out there to the rest of the world. We're never alone. And there's always someone who cares.
And we're certainly not alone today with Marty here. Now, if you just want a hint of the uplifting experience of activating the soothing calm and beauty of your senses, you must go to Shekinah. And I've just told you, it's shekinah.com.au, and experience just a short journey and the beauty of visual and the resonance of sound. Thank you so much. And Marty, now let us listen and feel.
I feel you from the inside out, no doubt about it. Deep, deep beneath your skin, your colors shining brightly. I tune in, you're beautiful like the sun, like the rain, like everything beautiful, even pain, I'll tell you. beautiful. 'Cause everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. That's beautiful. I tune in to your beautiful. Like a book, your story's right before me. Far, far behind the walls we build with all their glory. I tune in, you're beautiful. Like the sun, like the rain, like everything beautiful, even pain. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. Maybe it's beautiful. I tune in to your beautiful.
Like that.
Oh,
God, the waterworks.
I'll sing the song in the treatment to the scent that you choose. So if you chose your beautiful at the beginning of the treatment in the scent, I'll sing it. If you choose surrender, I sing it. It's your body that tells me what to sing. You choose it.
Thanks, girls.
Thank you so much for having me.